Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. We are three old friends. We record this podcast every week in a shed in the bottom of my garden on the road out to Spittal from Galway City. We'll be speaking to you every week from this shed, which is called the Hen House, talking about whatever comes into our minds, and we hope you enjoy it.
Mics are ready now. My earphones are very loud.
Would you sensitive hearing anyway? Would you?
I don't know if my hearing is going or coming down. It push that down another bit. Little
your
bit.
Hearing is
there,
going.
There. That's. I'm happy there. We all happy.
Happy out.
Yes.
How are we on the mics this week?
We're great.
Good.
You have a different body to the rest of us.
I don't know. Well, everyone has a different body, don't we?
Yeah, but you're strangely put together. Like, tell us what we were. Tell us about the hair.
Well, as you can see. I'm going to take off this, and you can see that I haven't had a haircut since the end of January.
Yeah.
And this is the longest.
I think it suits you like that.
It's the kind longest. Of that's the longest my hair has been.
There's a kind of a. There's a bang of Susie Quattro off you. Do you remember Susie Quattro?
Somebody came up to me at the airport years
Dumbling
ago.
In.
I went, "You're like a young Rod Stewart."
Oh.
And I didn't know what to think. I just sat there and
but you have
characters
that,
going.
Yeah, you have
you're
that.
Like a young Rod Stewart. Now, Rod Stewart as a youngster was a fucking rocker. Rod Stewart was an amazing.
Yeah, back
artist.
In 1969, he was fantastic.
What do you think of the length of it, Loretta?
Well, I was just.
Look at that.
I was just noticing. Yeah, it's very woolly now, I have to say.
It's
shaggy. It's the shaggy look.
Yeah. It's all going the one direction. Like you.
But.
You're growing it from the crown of your head out. There's nothing is going back.
Do you ever brush it like?
I haven't brushed my
You're
hair
like a man throwing a duvet over dirty sheets. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you about my hair.
You touch it. You do touch it a fair bit now, as someone who knows you. You do touch your hair a fair bit. And you seem to be putting places where it is already. Do you know what I mean? Like you're grabbing tufts of it and shoving it over places where there's already lots of hair.
Now...
Whereas
talking about
I have no hair in the middle of my head, like I'm a lost cause altogether.
I was interested to note, so he hasn't cut his hair since January, and you were a bit taken aback when I said to you that you had your hair didn't look like it was that
grown.
Long. It didn't look like
so
it was
So I'd usually have the buzz cut, like the number one or the number half. So it's kind of like I'd have the, what's your man, Richie Sadler?
Yes.
The shaved look.
The shaved look, you know, with a bit of a face oak, the bit of the beard. But because of Derry Girls filming soon, I can't be shaven headed for that, so I have to let it grow out. But I was saying to you earlier on that I think what's missing in culture are bald male role models. And I was trying to think of a few bald men, not shaved bald men now, kind of baldy with the...
receding sort of.
Yeah, so that I think people think that they're cool. So
Micheál Martin is... got that look going on now.
No, he does
has
not.
Hair. He has
I
hair.
Doesn't have any.
No, I'm talking about
he has a load of hair.
Bill Murray. Yeah. Bill has that kind of baldy look that I like. I can't think of any other people that have it though. The kind of
think of in the sports world.
Willie Thorne had it. God be good to him.
God bless Willie Thorne.
Paddy Cole. He's bald as well.
Is that the? Are they my role models now?
Yeah, I'm afraid you're limited enough.
Who's the cool bald heads?
But look, tell me about your role models in terms of your just get out of bed look.
Freddie Ljungberg, he doesn't have any hair. Sure, he
Freddie had purple hair when he was at his pinnacle for Arsenal. Freddie now is purple.
Now he doesn't have any. So go on.
I am.
Who are your role models
for hair?
Yeah, who do you like apart from?
But it was always no. I don't have any.
Apart
hair
from the
role
mother
models.
In Brookside.
I don't have any hair role models.
Looks like
you do.
If you think of the way, I don't have a hair role model. How can you have a hair role model?
But you said I wanted to have a look that it just get out of bed look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you've seen that look on other people and go, I want to look like them.
No, because I've always had this look with my hair, Tommy. You know that. I haven't styled it on somebody who's just got out of bed. I want to look as if it's dishevelled.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been aiming for.
And tell us about the receding hairline and the hair transplant.
Yes, right. As you can see...
Because you could get away with that now.
No, I don't know. But as you can see, it's going back up here. Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a little part of me there around December. And
would you get caught in the wind and go,
oh,
fuck.
Yeah. I go, it's fucking going backwards now. It's going right backwards.
He's exposed.
They're like two little inlets. They're like two little inlets on the River Shannon.
Right.
Up with their Coosin.
Yes.
Up around the Shannon. It's like Belmullet Bay. I've two little inlets here at the back,
yeah.
And they're going back and back. So I said, right, I'm going to explore.
You have a landing strip. It's kind of like you have a Brazilian at the top of your head.
I said I'm going to explore it.
Yeah.
And I decided then to go to a well-known place in Ireland to do...
Did you phone them up?
No, listen, lads, we have to be very careful here, right? Because there are a lot of other places available.
I'm surprised. So a lot of people go out foreign for it.
Yes, and we'll talk about that because I've been on a plane recently from Istanbul.
Everyone came back with hair.
They've all got headbands on and all their hair is
shaved.
Yeah, and their scalps are bleeding. There's all these men with headbands on, and every second seat coming on Turkish Airlines from Istanbul is full of lads, Irish lads, just after getting the head done. But their heads look as if they're after being hit by a pitchfork 6,000 times. The scalps are bleeding. They've got Andrea Gassi sweatbands on, and they're all on the way back to Dublin. Oh. And I'm sitting there in the back of it going, that could be me. Hector, you got the head done, did you?
So come here, you phoned up a place in Dublin?
Yeah, so I phoned up.
And what did you say to them?
So I said, hello.
Did you say Hector here?
I did. And then they went, what do you see? They go.
I do that sometimes when I'm looking for preferential treatment.
You say it's Hector.
Yeah.
It does work in a nightclub in Avenor when you're booking a hotel room. But anyway, this place would be pretty well known. So it's all about discreet, blah, blah, blah. And it's all futuristic and white and modern and UV lights, strip lighting under the reception. So when you arrive, you have discreet public private parking. Private parking. So, and we come in and there's an elevator, a private elevator to take you to the...
With no mirrors in it.
And the minute you get in...
The one going down has, but the one going up doesn't.
You know what I was doing? I was fiddling with it going, they don't give a fuck what it looks like, man, because they've seen all types. So I've watched the videos of the people on this. Welcome to the hair clinic. We are one of the world's leaders, blah, blah, blah.
This is what's piped through the elevator.
Yeah, and then this is their videos. Their video, their website is very posh. And there's some well-known Irish personalities that I can't name. Anyway, so you get in there, it's all white, there's all nurses and everything. You're going for your pre-operation consultancy.
Right. And this is expensive as well,
so listen to this. So anyway,
did they charge you by the yard or
and then you go into the lift?
So we went in and they have a look at it, and then they take your blood pressure and they do all these checks, and then they go in and then he pulls your scalp back and he gets a marker and he pulls it back and then he starts pushing it. He drew a line around the inlets. Round by the islands, the two islands at the top.
Traced your hair basically.
Traced my
around.
Hair down with a marker. And then he said, put your head down. And we started taking photos. And then he looks at your photo on the screen. And then other consultants come in and they all look at your head on the screen. And then.
And are you embarrassed when this is happening?
I don't know what.
Mortified.
I don't know what.
But you have loads of hair on the top of your head,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but I'm losing the hair at the inlets.
So they're going to take it from.
They'll take it from the cut from behind. So what they'll do is they'll extract the hair from right at the back of your head, a strip.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah,
they will replant it.
Truth be told, you hardly need the hair at the back of your head.
No, nobody's looking at you from that angle.
So.
Very few people would see you from the back.
And boy, we got to get the terms right here. It's follicle replantation, and there's a replantation room in the place. Wow. And they're all in.
Do you get a grant for it? Like,
you know the way you see people making
culture pieces? Or something. if you're in the farm and if you plant a load of bushes, you get a grant for it. Would you get a grant
for that?
It's
a refollicle replantation area, and the plantation room, you have all these people busily working around. You know the way you see chefs cooking up and it's all open plan and you can look in, you go, oh, look at it, it's cool. Hey, look at them cooking it. There's my steak, and you can see in. Well, now you can see into this place with all these technicians.
You can see someone else getting it
They're
done.
They're called follicle technicians.
Right.
So they're individually taking your follicle and they're ready for replantation. Meanwhile, you're heavily anaesthetised and they're placing each follicle back one by one.
And does it work, do you reckon?
I haven't a clue, but I'll tell you. The videos are all good. The promos are good. It's very all
But what
good.
Happened when you were in there?
Oh, hang on. This is my pre-consultation. And then they said, we'll be back in touch with you in a couple of weeks and we will get ready then for operation.
Transplantation. Follicle
replantation. And then I waited. And then a week later, they sent out the news and the price.
Oh.
How much?
So...
For how many follicles
so
now?
So some... The tension is unbearable.
Do you have to pay by the follicle or...?
So, there's two types of hair plantation.
Right.
Replantation. Forestation. There's one where it's partial, which I was going for. Mm-hmm. Or there's one which is complete. We'll pull every bit of hair.
What do you mean partial?
So say for example for you, Tommy.
Yeah.
You're missing it in chunks.
They'd have to get
chunks.
They'd have to get another lad to donate his hair.
They couldn't take it off your face.
They couldn't take it off me.
A follicle adoption. Pat in Wexford. Well, you know what I did last week? I got donated my hair to Tommy. That's not a bad idea.
No, but it could follicle be any adoption.
So tell me about the partial and permanent. What's the difference?
So for example, with you, you're losing out at your crown. Am I right?
Yeah. Losing, lost.
Past tense.
That boat is gone, boys.
I don't know if he might be too far gone.
That child has grown up and left the house.
So what they would do with you is they would take skin you top to bottom.
Yeah.
They'd take whatever existing hair they could, they'd skin you, and they'd start replanting all of it.
All right, wow.
And the whole hair. And you couldn't go outside then for about 6 months. You'd be locked in the house.
Talk about
cocooning. That's another thing as well, the cocooning part of it after. You have to lock yourself away for 2 weeks. No, do nothing.
Why?
Because it's very...
You get infected.
It's dodgy and it can fall out. You're not living...
Fall out.
No, but it has
to
replant.
Turn your head down.
It's like a little bit of coriander. It's like one of those little pots you buy, and you buy it, and oh, look at coriander, and we'll go a fresh coriander in our curry, and then a week later the thing is dead.
Shrivels.
You have to water it.
You have to spray your head for 24 hours and not go to sleep.
I go away.
I'm telling you, you spray your head for 24 hours.
You have to sit upright.
You know, baseball. You have to sit upright for the first 16 hours and not
fall
sleep.
Fall down on your face.
And spray your head every 2 or 3 hours, like a greenhouse. So anyway. The bill came in.
The
if you want to proceed
Attention.
With your follicle replantation, and they said you would be looking between 2,000 to 3,000 follicle replants individual. Now some lads go in there for 10,000 and 15,000 replants.
Right.
The whole head. I was looking for 2,000 to 3,000.
Right.
Replants, individual hairs.
Right.
How much per hair?
I'm going to say €50 a follicle.
€50?
50
per follicle.
Where are you?
We're getting this done in...
Is it deer? Is it too dear?
Is it hair or fucking...
Gold. But is that too dear?
Strands of gold.
Narita, hair is gold dust.
Yeah, exactly. So is that not...
On the open market, a healthy hair follicle is worth more than an ounce of gold.
Would you shut up? Jeez, I get rid of mine.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me when he sent the bill down to me. And I said to me, Mrs, have a look at this, will you?
How much?
I could nearly buy a fucking house for this. I could nearly buy a house.
Well, where? Like?
In Leitrim or in Dublin?
Tumor dog.
No. Well, maybe you might get something in Claremont.
How much was it? Come on.
€500 per hair.
Did you think I was too... Dear with the 50.
Yeah.
€500.
And how many?
How much is that?
2,000 to 3,000. So what's that? 100 grand, is it?
Did I get that right?
2,000
hairs.
Will you do maths there?
Oh, God.
Multiplied by 500.
That's about 200.
Oh, sorry, I got it
That's
wrong.
That's about 200,000, is it
you
not?
You could buy a house. You could buy a house in Navan for that.
You
no,
mean?
Sorry, I got it wrong.
How much?
Just give us the full bill, the total bill. Don't break down each one.
It was going to cost me about...
That pen has no...
It was going to cost me... What was they saying? Was it €15 follicle? By 2,000. Yes, it's €15.
€15?
Yeah.
So what was the price to give you for the whole thing? 15 by 20,000. By 2,000.
Well, it could be three.
Oh, jeez, I'm wrecked.
I can't work this out.
It was going to cost me about 12,000 to 15,000 euro to get it done.
12,000 or 15,000 pounds?
Between 12,000 and 15,000 euro to get it done.
Permanent.
Forever.
Who's not going to fall out?
For the rest of your life. Never have to worry about being on a bicycle again forever. Or being caught out in the wind.
I got it wrong there. It's not 500, but to me it was like 500, but it wasn't. It's 12 to 15 grand, which is a considerable amount of cash to replant your head.
The Lord says this. You definitely will buy a house.
Then I started surfing the net, didn't I? And I got in touch with a crowd in Madrid. And they were doing it for 7 euro, a follicle. And then I started... The same follicle. And then I started Googling a crowd from Istanbul.
€2.
And then I realised that there's over 250 hair clinics in the city of Istanbul. It's the world leader in follicle plantation. There are tens of thousands of men going in every month to Istanbul to get their hair done. That's about €4 a follicle.
Beat that.
You're already down to a third of the original price.
And I flew to Africa there in February during the show, and we came back via Istanbul, and I saw it with my own eyes. Hundreds of Irishmen getting their hair
done.
They
put you up as well over there, I think.
They put you up for 2 or 3 days.
But you can't lie down.
You can't lie down for 24 hours. And then you come back to Ireland, you have to rest and replant, re-sow and re-fertilise, and then you're back.
The gym phoned me up again, wanting to know would I...
join.
Would I go back again? I'm tempted not to.
Were you a good member? Is that why they're ringing you?
Yeah, I was a good member, and I suppose they're all everybody's just trying to make a living these days. But I'm tempted not to go back. Mm. Do you know, I'm tempted just to. There's a great virtue in strength, isn't there?
Yeah.
In having strength and being able to feeling that kind of vigor inside in your body. But I'm awful tempted to just let myself go a little bit. I don't mean let myself go as in.
You went on about the belly. You're not letting the belly go.
No, but just in terms of not being. Not being just...
But you don't need big muscles now, do you?
Well, women do find them fiercely attractive.
Yes, but you don't...
Biceps, like women love us.
Women like them, but...
Biceps.
What do you like, Loretta? Are you a back woman? Are you
back.
Are you back? Are you strong arms?
Big strong arms. Women do like strong arms, yeah.
So shoulders.
And good strong legs.
Yeah, good legs and shoulders.
Legs and shoulders, good strong legs.
Just big and strong. Mr. Big and Strong.
So, but
yes,
I have, and I know my wife appreciates this when I go to the gym. I know if I'm after about 2 months of lifting weights, I know.
You're getting solid.
I know she likes it, but is it worth it? Is it worth all that effort just to please my wife?
Yeah, I'd say it is. Yeah.
No, you're in the mirror.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. Yeah.
Just to keep.
But you feel good too.
It's for the endorphins coming out of the head, isn't it?
You'd be going around with your chest out.
But is that pride then? Is that vanity and pride?
Do you look at yourself much when you're getting...
I do. I find myself, the more I lift weights, the more I look at myself.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not changing your day, is it?
I could spend 8 or 9 hours looking at myself. I don't mean in the same place, but I could leave the mirror...
Do you mean in the same building?
I could leave the mirror upstairs after looking at myself, and then I'd pass the mirror by the front door, take a quick check, and then I'd catch my reflection in the...
fridge
in the door from the hall into the sitting room, and then we made an awful mistake. My wife has a vanity table. Do you know what a vanity table is? It's kind of a place where she can sit and do her makeup.
Yes.
And where she has it is directly opposite the toilet.
Right.
So the toilet is there. And then there's a bit of space, and then her chair, and then her vanity thing. That's just the way the bathroom is set up. So when you're sitting on the toilet, you're looking at your own reflection.
Well, you can see yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yes.
And see what you are.
When you're sitting on the toilet.
You can see your own, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. So right. You probably couldn't help yourself. I can't help myself just
doing this, like guns.
Yeah. Just
flexing.
But the more I go to the gym, the more I do that. So knowing myself, am I thinking, what's the point? What's the point of spending time looking at your own reflection?
Do you feel better?
I do feel a bit better, but I also feel vainer.
Right.
And I'm not sure it's the way to go.
Well, why? Is there a happy medium somewhere along the way?
I'm not sure. Just stop and get weak and die.
There's two ways of looking at yourself, isn't there? You can look, you put on the shirt, you put on your jeans, you put on your cords.
Yeah, I don't wear jeans anymore. Jeans are for boys.
Cords
are for.
He's got
I wear trousers.
He's trousers and cords.
Trousers
he's
with
a pair
pockets
of cords. And the first thing I spotted today.
I didn't notice.
The last
that.
Time I saw a pair of cords was 1984 in Navan in Milady's. Was it Milady's beside Tom Dunn's? There was a lad who used to sell grey cords. He likes corduroy. He always liked velvet and corduroy.
I just like trousers with
soft
decent
pockets
in them. Yeah. That you can put your hands in instead of denims where you can only get the tops of your fingers.
What about the two pleats on the trousers?
But then your big arms would look good if you were sticking them into the pockets.
But
the
you
top
see,
of the jeans.
But you see, as a man, and I know where you're coming from here, Tommy, there's two ways of looking at yourself. When you're dressed, and then the key is when you're in your jocks. Nobody there, just looking in the mirror.
But for whose benefit is that?
That's for you. That's for your mind and the man inside your mind. How do I read
what
you?
What is the man inside your mind?
Tommy, you know what I'm talking
who's
about.
He? Tell
I'm
going
to ask this
it.
Question.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your jocks, because when you look at yourself in a mirror,
yeah.
What type, are you a boxer man? Are you briefs? Are you tight little jocks? Are you?
What I've noticed over the past few years is I bought boxers that now look like briefs.
You wash them too much.
Are they sagging?
They're clenched. My underpants, there's very little room for manoeuvre.
Describe them. Are yeah, they boxers yours that have shrunk or were they
yeah,
tight box, little yokes?
They're tight. I don't like them.
And did you get a 3-pack or a 5-pack or what were you buying?
I went through a phase of buying 3-packs. I could never see the point in buying singular pair of the boxers.
Exactly.
Shorts.
Right.
Good,
well,
yeah.
I don't know. Do they come in packets?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they're good. Would you be a branded man, or would you just go into the normal place and just buy a load of them? Really?
No, I would have been branded.
What? Yeah.
St. Vincent de Paul.
Why would you notice the difference in the branded ones?
Yeah, this conversation doesn't interest me. But what I'm trying to say is, should I go to the
gym
or not?
Yeah, where did we go?
I'm interested in see what he looks like in the mirror and the nip
and how I feel about it.
Yes, and that's what it's down to that, Tommy. How do you feel about your body?
I take the pressure off myself by not investing in my own body. That's what I do. I put no effort into how I look, apart from letting my wife trim my moustache and doing something with my flyaway hair every now and again. But I put no mind into my physical appearance.
But you've been running for years. You're always
but I've
doing
stopped.
Something.
Something has happened. I'm 51 and I've stopped. I got wise. No more lifting weights. No more running. Just talking to people and being friendly.
Right, well, that's the answer to the question then. You won't be going back to the gym.
That's all I am. I'm all
take out the mirrors, out of the house,
no,
lock, stock and barrel.
No, my wife likes looking at them and it's important for her to look good. She looks beautiful anyway. I tell her, I said, she wakes up in the morning and she's crying and I says, what's wrong with you? And she says, look at me. And I says, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And she says, stop lying to me. And I says, you are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And she says, stop lying. But that little curve of a smile starts to happen, and,
yes.
And I keep at her. I keep telling her, "You're gorgeous. You're gorgeous. You're gorgeous." And she is. She's so fucking gorgeous. And eventually, she believes me. But she needs the mirror. I don't.
Yeah, women need.
I would be happy never to watch television again, never to look in another mirror, never to go on the internet, never to read another paper, never to see the news, or never hear my own name being spoken by other people.
You've had enough of the world. You could just
Like I said, I'm up for meeting people and being nice. How are you? Great. And how's the dog? Mighty. That's what I'm into.
Right.
Friendship. Not
friendship.
Vanity. And I'm going to say it to the person in the gym.
You might need to know. They might just listen to this.
And also, I'm never coming back here.
Ever,
you could go
ever.
And talk to people in the gym. Sit at the reception. Work there. You could work
anyway, that's what I'm thinking. Years ago, I had I got injured running, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I went to all types of specialists and stuff like that. And I went to a Chinese lad who, in a room with no ventilation, and he told me that he did acupuncture me, stuck needles in all over my body, and to see where the energy was flowing. And it was around my knee. It was awful sore. And I went to him for about 4 weeks. He was got me to strip down to my underpants. Walking up and down the little room, sticking needles in me, talking to me in his broken English. And after a month, he said, I know what's wrong with you. He says, your leg is sad. He said, I had a sad leg. That's what he said. He said, I was sad and the sadness was gathering.
It gathers around the knees. Did you know that?
The sadness went to my leg. And
were you sad?
I wasn't aware of it.
I noticed it in your walk around that time.
That I was.
You were dragging
you were
the back. Was it the left leg?
A sad walk.
I can't remember which one it was.
Which one was sadder, the left or the right?
I don't know, but that's the sadness congregated in around my leg. And he says, you have a sad leg, and that's what's wrong with you. And then I went to another lad, and he said, no, bullshit, you've got flat feet. And that's what it was. Right. And I was running so much that I was off kilter. And the part of my knee was taking
pounding
pressure.
Pounding the pavement.
Part of my knee was taking pressure. It shouldn't have been taken.
Orthotics.
I got orthotics in. So there's
so
no
you
sad.
You weren't sad.
There was no sadness in my leg at all.
The sad leg picked up a bit after a few days. Welcome, everybody. This is the Tommy and Hector podcast with Loretta Blewett, Mayo and Knockmore's finest.
That's accurate.
Absolutely. And you're welcome wherever you're listening to, on whatever platform. Thanks for listening to the show. And we endeavour to do one once a week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Week.
So lads, sex dolls.
Sex dolls.
And sex toys okay. And all that. Yeah. Big increase in it in since the lockdown. Nurses outfits. How do you feel about them?
No, sorry.
So where you found this on the Financial Times.
Yeah.
Give us a synopsis of it.
Dildo King. It's a Berlin accessory supplier.
Okay, it's not a restaurant.
No. It sounds like Thermo King for heat supplies. This is Dildo King. It is an 87% increase in sales of sex toys year on year since the restrictions were announced. Fetish article sales are up 94%.
Yeah.
And sales of certain masturbator models had increased more than eightfold compared to last year.
This is since cocooning started.
Yeah.
Some people are just very confident about that. Like there's a couple of sex shops in Galway.
Germans. They're open about everything. See, like that wouldn't be in the Mayo News now or wouldn't be in the...
But some people are very confident. They walk into a sex shop and go, give us an 8-inch with a 3-inch girth and I want something to be lightly feathering my bottom hole.
San Francisco was brilliant at that.
I'd be mortified. I would be going and asking for toothpaste or stuff. Do you know what I mean? I've no... I can't be doing that stuff at all. No. And I'm amazed at people who are. You know, I watched a documentary on dogging the other night. You know, people who go to car parks and have sex.
I'm always fascinated about that.
What was amazing about it was, there was this woman on it and she was saying, she had a mask on and she was saying, you know, before I started dogging, I was awful shy. But getting rode at the back of a station wagon in the woods
with a load of lads looking in the window
with a load of lads looking at me,
it's mental.
Has put my confidence back.
And what age would she have been?
She would have been in her 30s.
But
she was talking about how, you know, I used to be really shy, but there's something about, so the car that they have has one of these good kind of fold out boots which you can get up on if you're like putting
weapons on. Station wagon like.
Yeah. So they open up the top part of it and they open up the bottom part of it and she kneels and she's staring out the front window. And the fella
at the crowd.
And no, she's no at the darkness. And then she can't see any of the fellas looking at her.
Oh yeah.
And then she and her partner make love. And there's loads of fellas then just abusing themselves, watching them. But she says it's great for her confidence.
How?
Because once you can do that, once you can claim, once you can do that, Once you can have sex in public with fellas looking at you,
yeah,
and fellas you don't know finding you so attractive that they're willing to take advantage of themselves in a forest at night, you just, you walk, you're empowered.
But how would that translate into
confidence?
Reading at mass, say.
Into reading.
How would you
a letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians.
Well, that's what I can't
It is
understand.
A mad thing, isn't it, the old dogging? Like, I remember Channel 4 had a couple of those docs on about dogging. When did dogging get really popular? About 15 years ago in England, in Epping Forest. And
yeah,
there's places England, outside. There's all yeah. these little forest, little pull-in laybys. I'm fascinated by the type of lads that'll come out of the darkness and all congregate at the window. It's just, well, John, well, Pat.
Do women John, go as well? Or?
Well, Dennis, how's the week on? Not too bad. Hang on a second, I'll pull my pants down and pull myself a sundown.
Jesus, John, I need you to fix me boiler.
Well, any sign of Jimmy? He's not coming. He texted me. So we'll start anyway. Who's on today?
It's
Maury. How are you, Maury? How are you, love? Hang on a second, Maury. Hang on, Paul is coming. He texted me. Where is he? He's a mile away. Maureen, will you hang on a second? Just hang on a second, because Paul's on his way.
Can we go again from the top?
I'm going again anyway. Fuck you. Pulling themselves asunder in a park. With the
I've questioned, Jesus, do women Christ. Go to these dogging parties as well? Or other, is there only one woman that's on display?
They go from car to car.
I don't think the women go from car to car watching. I think the women are in the cars this being made love to.
Yeah.
And the fellas go around just staring.
Gawking in the window.
But I just say, I'm amazed at people's confidence to do that.
I am as well. It's barbaric.
And even though we might think that it's a small subculture community, it's rampant.
Oh, it's massive.
And they're allowed to vote.
Yeah. you know what I watched? It isn't great.
We wouldn't have the forests for it.
Oh, we would, of course. I bet it's rampant around Galway.
What about Quilcha laybys?
I bet there's dogging spots all over
there
Galway.
There has to be.
Near and Mayo and all.
Near Loughrea and places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there's always somebody in the community. Oh, yeah, I know where that happens. And then they won't tell you. Where? Oh, yeah, not too far from you. Yeah, yeah. Do you know the way Irish people go on? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be too far from you as the crow flies.
Yeah. Yeah. You left the lights on last night.
And flicking the lights.
That's it, yeah.
Flicking the lights to let you know you're there.
More is no stranger to the hazards been on.
John is here, lads. We may continue. Yeah, we're all in now. All in. Away you go, Maureen. Good girl.
I'm after making
And she's off.
I'm after making a mess of myself.
Who's got the baby wipes? They're in the back there.
My new shoes are destroyed.
I've no baby wipes, lads. I've only the yolks to clean the
crap.
Dashboard wipes. Dashboard wipes. Dashboard
wipes.
Well, you want to wipe that down there, lads? Yeah, have me packing a dashboard wipes I bought in Maplin's.
If your car is too clean, if the
wipe down the speedometer there, there's goo running all over it.
Oh, stop it.
Could you imagine the handle on the car and you could look outside? Does your man have to power wash it down the next day?
Or if to put the car seats in then the next
imagine
day.
Imagine the state of the car.
Or to be riding away and Jackson Edsy lets the handbrake off. Why is the thing is backing up on us?
It's on me foot. Sure, salty water has ruined the corrosion of a car. Imagine salty spunk.
Oh, lads. What are you talking about? Salty.
God be good to us.
No.
Anyway, but the confidence, I'm just taken aback by it.
I was watching a programme on Netflix about...
Oh, hello, we'll take that.
That's sorry, hang on there.
No, can you just send in the order, Tommy, for tea?
Hello?
We keep recording.
It's Maureen.
Oh, hi, Ina, how are you? I'm good now. I'm just in the middle of recording something down the shed here. Are you looking for Yvonne, was it? Oh, that's all right. She'll be. She is driving back now from town, so she should be on her mobile in 5 or 10 minutes. Talk to you shortly, Ina. Bye bye. Bye. Oh, that was my mother-in-law.
Oh, that's good.
Now, what's that on there now?
No, I didn't press pause. We kept Ina on the phone there. But there was a documentary on Netflix about what do you call that? Oh, swinging. Swingers parties.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this little village out in Radlett, quite a posh little village in outside, it's in London, outside London, maybe, I can't remember.
The English are different.
They are. And here was the couple, right? The husband was roasting a pig all day, right? Oh, that mightn't sound right.
Well, is this a document? Can we see this?
Yeah.
That's class. I'll write these down.
And they had the kids there.
Do you want to rephrase that? No.
I should probably. But it was physically roasted.
He was roasting one all night as well. Is he from next door?
So he was in a radlet and he was roasting a pig.
They had the house all done up. The kids were making up all the bedrooms. The kids, they were like 8, 9, 10, 12, that kind of age.
Yeah.
They were doing up the beds in like red silk duvets and all that.
Yeah.
Having it ready for the guests coming over later on the night. He was roasting a pig out the front. The wife was cleaning the house. And then they just open up the house in the common. They were all videoed in the documentary.
But there'll be people listening to this now to whom that wouldn't be unusual. But it's just, I guess we did grow up in a sexually oppressed era. And when something, like, you can't get rid of sexual energy. So if you try and squash it, it just emerges in unusual places. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't disappear. So you squash it down so it emerges in Redlet and Epping Forest. You know? But I think it's because we're kind of, sex is always the dirty thing and make you laugh and, you know, it's always it's not talked about openly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's an underground energy. But I'm still just amazed at people's, the confidence of it. Like, I'm just blown away by it.
Where does the conversation start? Oh, do you fancy coming over to our house for sex?
No, they'd be drunk one night and they'd be after making love to one another and she'd... You'd be there. What would you tell me? And she says, I'd love this now. And
I'd love to make love with Tom across the road.
Yeah. No, there is actually a fella called Tom who lives across the road from my house. So
change the name now. Just Barney. Say Barney.
And I guess that's how it starts. But some people just have much more open about it, you know, and they don't.
There's something like, could you imagine? But a load of people arriving into a house and having a few drinks and, you know, start at each other.
I'll take you tonight.
I couldn't.
You come over.
But you
here
see,
now.
The big thing is the mask.
How do you meet
isn't
them
the
in
mask,
the shop? The
little
next
mask.
Day.
They put the little masks on, the little masquerade ball masks, don't they?
Oh, I didn't watch all the documentary because it was a bit disgusting.
Yeah. Well, but it's a big business, the swingers.
And
business.
And nurses' outfits, big business. Big business as well, sex toys in Berlin, Germany.
So, and you were saying that in the article that the sales of all these things have gone up
since the lockdown. Where were they getting it beforehand, though? Or what were they doing beforehand, I wonder? Why, I mean, the lockdown, they didn't
I guess people were just at home, you know, and they kind
but
of...
But what were they doing when they weren't at home?
How do you mean?
Like, beforehand, when they weren't at home. Or maybe they were just busy.
Yeah, they were just distracted with other stuff.
But like vibrators and dildos and all that, they've always been there.
Dildo King. Berlin's
What was the name of the famous vibrator that was on Sex in the City?
The Rabbit, was it?
The three-speed variable rabbit.
They've always been there.
Yeah. Online sales. That's why it's easier.
Gives that
you won't go to the shop.
Gives the Dildo King website there.
DildoKing.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. What I have loved watching during the lockdown is the old GAA matches from the 70s and 80s. I have just got such a buzz out of watching these lepers of men.
Long hair.
Long hair, sideburns, no teeth, damp.
They always look old. Leg. They looked so old. Oh, they did,
Brian Mullins looked like he was in Def Leppard. With the long hair. All you did was give him a vest and go, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1974, Brian Mullins.
He looked like the
what a midfielder general.
Oh, yeah. And
Brogan. Tony Hanahoe.
Tony Hanahoe.
But I loved watching there was the teacher.
Who was the doctor? Anton.
Doctor Anton Spillane. And it's Anton. And the seniors of today.
Anton
O'Toole. He wasn't a doctor.
Anton
O'Toole. Dave Hickey.
Davy Hickey over the bar in Dublin. I love the commentary. The commentary coming out the door. And here come Dublin. And the boys had run out in these tight shorts and they'd burst out on the pitch. And the seniors of today will be the juniors of tomorrow. And here comes Offaly. And this is it. Before the matches started, the old boys... smoking cigarettes, 950,000 at Innicrop. Come on! Swaying on the canal end.
Sitting on the roof.
And lads sitting on roofs. Fuck. And here comes Offaly! And the boys, they'll kill coming out of the dressing room. Fucking come on, boys! We'll fucking, once we get out on the pitch, We'll be fine. But fucking let's give it on the way out. They would run out, but none of this shite hawking. They would come out of the booth. And the juniors of today will be the seniors of tomorrow. And here comes. And it's over the bar for awfully a 3-point lead. Seamus Darby's been brought on. There's no passion like that anymore, is it? There's no passion like that anymore. Tight little shorts on them, the gussets. And your man gussets. In that...
They're big bellies though, you know.
Yeah, and they were great men. They were great men. And all the Mikey Sheehy and Ogie Moran and everything are men, mountain men. Willie Joe Padden, for God's sake, great men.
I love watching it.
Oh, man. Just when the next time we all watch this, watch how fast they come out that fucking dressing room. Your boys are lit up. Lit up. With no Red Bull or nothing. Out they come. They'd kill. Yeah. They would kill back then. Strong, majestic midfielders rising high and letting in big ball into the forwards. And
it was, and all the stands are packed and there's no seats or nothing. There's just these
no
fags.
Swaying. Kevin Heffernan on the side. Oh man, but the football was shite.
It was beautiful.
Different type of football, wasn't it?
It wasn't as,
it's manufactured now. You know, prop, everything's so like specific.
Rehearsed.
Well, I think so. Yeah. It's all like everybody has, like they're all wearing GPS and you didn't do, you've to come off now. You could be playing
tracking
the best football, but you haven't run enough or you haven't.
Tracking them.
So then.
Would they have that information on the sideline going,
There's somebody watching video
during the match.
You've got your GPS. That's why sometimes you'll say, geez, he was playing so well. Why did they take him off? Oh, he was getting tired. He wasn't running as quick. His foot was going into the ground. You know, as opposed to staying up on your tippy toes and running around like that. It's crazy. It is probably mental.
Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast with Tommy Hector and Arita Blewett. And we'll talk to you next week.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.